this morning. I think you'll be encouraged and hopefully set free of some things. We're talking about letting go. That's the title for today. In my notes, it was the title was Letting Go 2, because I guess several years ago I typed up a message called Letting Go, and I looked through it and I was like, wow, that goes in a totally different direction. But praise God that this is letting go again, and it is something that occasionally it comes up in the body of Christ, because there's so many things that hold us back in life, and that's what we want to let go of. So let's start with some prayer. Father, we're going to press in to you and your word this morning. I pray, Father, the stories I share, the things that I speak, Father, may it penetrate hearts this morning. Father, may we be encouraged to let go of things that might be troubling us or holding us back or causing us to stumble. Father, may we let go of things that are untrue or things that don't have to do with you, that we can push that aside and press ahead into what you have for us, Lord. We're praising you this morning. Let your word speak clearly. Father, let it do what it needs to do this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we've all probably heard the story or seen the picture of the guy that is walking through life with like 8 suitcases. I'm looking up at my screen. There he is. So we've all probably seen or heard this before. This is the guy that's got, you know, 8 suitcases and briefcases and bags strung over his shoulder, and it represents carrying excess baggage through life. Okay, this is a guy who's walking down the road of life, and there he is. He's going somewhere, but man, is he bogged down. He's got a lot of stuff to be able to take all the way with him. Okay, well, the underlying message of even a picture like that is that life gets much easier when you begin to put down some of those unnecessary baggage, some of that stuff that is slowing you down, okay, or that is holding you back, or that is tripping you up. Because how many know you get too much stuff? I looked up several pictures, and there were guys who were literally falling down on the stuff they were carrying. We get too much stuff, and it begins to trip you. Okay, well, some of those bags that we carry through life include things like your past, okay, your mistakes, okay, lies, control, and things like unforgiveness. Okay, they are bags that we carry through life. The Apostle Paul put it this way, and I'm sure you've heard the scripture before, but as he's describing it, he was describing both things that would be considered good by many people. Okay, in his day, it was things like he knew the law inside and out. He said, among Pharisees, I'm a Pharisee among Pharisees. I know it. Okay, or being of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay, it was supposed to be a good thing. Being righteous and blameless according to the laws of God. Okay, people would look at that and say, that's awesome. But he also used this next statement, this verse, to describe the wounds and mistreatments, to describe the shipwrecks, to describe the beatings and the persecutions and the things that he had endured. And all that combined, the good and the bad, he sums it up in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, in other words, out of all the things that he had been through in life, he acknowledges that he doesn't have it all figured out, but one thing he does. You have to let go of the things that hold you back so that you can be free to sincerely pursue the goal that God has for you in life. Let's look a little deeper at some of the things that weigh people down, some of the things that we could potentially throw off to the side and say, I don't need that, I don't want that, I don't have to have that, and be able to set it down and go forward. Number one is your past. If you think about Paul's statement, he's saying the one thing I figured out, letting go of what lies behind and pressing toward what's in front of me, I'm pressing toward a new mark. Okay, so many Christians today are cleaving to the past. Okay, some are so focused on how good things were in the past that they're no longer pursuing better times ahead. They're constantly looking behind them saying, I wish I could have that again. I wish it was that good again. And they're constantly looking back at the past instead of focusing on what lies in front of them. Okay, Paul in another place says that those things in his past that he thought were so great, he now considers them to be like dung in comparison to the future greatness that he now has in Christ Jesus. He said all those things, he's naming all this stuff, and I had this and I had that, and people were steaming me high and all these things. And then he says, but I count them as but dung now that I have Christ. Okay, now other Christians, that's looking at some of the good in your past, thinking that that's where we need to be and wanting to go back to that. But other Christians are caught up in the negative side of what happened in their past. Okay, they're given so much clout to the circumstances that they grew up in, or some toxic moments in their relationships, that they're letting that view and that past dominate their adulthood. Okay, now we are influenced to a certain extent by our upbringing. Okay, there's no doubt. I show up early for events. My mom showed up early for events. I am influenced by that. My kid, one of them at least, shows up early for events. The other one doesn't drive yet, so we'll get to see if he does or not. But I think that is something that's part of our upbringing. We are influenced to a certain extent by that, by those kinds of things. Okay, we are also influenced by the involvement or the lack of involvement of, say, our parents or somebody in our life, a coach or somebody, that a teacher that imparted into our life. We can be influenced by the poverty mindset that we grew up in, thinking that we just never have enough, we'll never have enough in the future either, and kind of getting into that mindset that money is, you know, what governs their happiness and some of those kinds of things. Religious, legalistic discipline. If we grew up in that kind of a controlling environment and, you know, we were pounded on for mistakes that we made and those kind of things, that can influence us. Sometimes, of course, we can be influenced by outright rejection or abandonment. Okay, many today, I think even in the church, it's over half the church is single parent at one time or another. But your past does not define your future, okay? Because we serve a God. If you're a Christian today, say thank you, Jesus, okay? If you're a Christian today, you serve the God of healing, the God of restoration, and the God of forgiveness. Your past does not define your future, okay? You can spend your whole life trying not to be like, fill in the blank, your parents, whatever. Or you can spend your whole life focusing on being more like Jesus and being who he has made you to be. Okay, we can get caught up in the what was and trying to avoid that, or we can look to the future, like Paul was saying, pressing toward the future, what's lying in front of me. I'm going to press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because guess what? You are a new creation. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay? This event is a supernatural spiritual event that took place in your life that now makes it possible for your life to be different supernaturally. So all those things that I was stating earlier, that we feel this and we went through that, all those things can be altered spiritually by God himself because of our new relationship with him. When he says old things are passed away, it means you get a new start. You get a new beginning. And now you're governed by your Father God, okay, the Holy Spirit, the power and the anointing of Christ that gives you that mind to think better. You've got the Word now to cleanse and to renew your mind so you can think according to the ways of God and how He sees you instead of being influenced by the negative things of your past. When you accepted Christ, you opened yourself up to be shaped by God Himself, to be changed by God. How many have cried out to God, God, change me, work on me on the inside? Okay, we're asking Him to do exactly what I'm telling you is possible today. Okay, now even in the natural, your life is different when you're an adult than it was when you were a child, correct? You're not under the direct supervision. You're not under the guidance. You're not under the control of someone that you were at one point morally and in some cases even legally obligated to obey. You get to now, as an adult, make your own choices. Okay, and you're going to find out pretty quickly that sometimes making those choices is not easy. Okay, you're going to find out that your options may actually be more limited than you thought they were when you were a kid. Okay, you'll find out that your parents weren't keeping you from things or keeping things from you just to be mean. Okay, they didn't get you that bike for your 10th birthday because Cousin Sally died and they had to go to the funeral in Ohio. They had to use the money for that. They had a reason why they did what they did. They didn't make you stay home from that after prom party because they didn't want you to not have any friends. Okay, that wasn't their goal. They made you stay home because they knew it was going to be a drunk fest and several kids were going to lose their virginity. Okay, they knew something that you did not know when they made their decisions. You have to grasp the fact that the majority of people, and I'd probably change that and say literally more like everybody, actually lives their life the best way that they know how. You might have different thoughts for them. You might think they could live differently and do this differently and do that differently. But they, in their mind, living their life with all the circumstances they're experiencing, are dealing with what their life tells them, where they're at in life. And they're making decisions based on that to try to live the best life that they can. Okay, people in your past have made decisions, some good and some bad, based on a million different factors, most of which you didn't know anything about, and yet you're still spending your whole life holding those decisions against them. When we get down to number five on this list, I got five. When we get down to number five on forgiveness, you might want to take that to heart. Because sometimes we need to forgive and let go of things that have happened so that we can move forward. Okay, that's number one. Number two is mistakes. Okay, let go of mistakes. You know, I looked up some numbers to see how many people have been on the planet. I think at one time I thought there was like 8 billion now, or close to 8, and there's been about 8 billion that came and went. Most of the numbers that I see were in the 100 millions, 108, 109 billion people that have lived and died on the earth up to this point. And there's about 7.8 billion people alive on the earth right now. And every single one of them, with the exception of one, has made mistakes. Everybody knows, fill in the blank on who the one is. All of these billions of people have not just made one or two mistakes either. Okay, each one of them that lived into adulthood has made hundreds and hundreds of mistakes in their life. Okay, you and I are no different. Sometimes we lacked adequate information to make the right decision. Okay, we made one based on what we knew at the time and it ended up not being a good decision. Sometimes we allowed our emotions to override common sense and we made an irrational choice. Sometimes the enemy of your soul planted a seed in your mind that grew into an attitude that you succumbed to, and you allowed the spirit of rebellion to dominate wisdom and discernment. Regardless of whatever reason the mistake was made, why it was made, it now has the potential to be a nice set of baggage for you to carry through life. But it doesn't have to be. Okay, if you learn from your mistake, if you set your mind to make the best of the current situation. Okay, had Paul ever made mistakes? Guaranteed. He was killing Christians. Okay, the guy made some mistakes. Forgetting those things which lie behind and pressing toward that which lies before. Okay, that's his mindset. I've made some mistakes, but I'm going to press past. I'm going to start with my current situation and move forward. If you learn from those mistakes and you start from where you're at, make the best of your current situation, where it is right now, this moment, that mistake is no longer a detriment in your life, but it's a life-changing moment for your betterment. Okay, doesn't God's word say that all things work together for good to those who are called? Okay, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose? Okay, that includes you. Okay, you are special, but you're not that special. So special that you will be the exception to the rule and God just can't make all things work together for your good. Okay, you're special, but you're not that kind of special. We have all said things that we wish we wouldn't have said. Okay, we've all said things that we wish we wouldn't, or done things that we wish we wouldn't have done. But no amount of fretting about those things is going to undo them. Peter made some major mistakes in his life. Okay, here's a guy that cut off somebody's ear. Okay, he denied the Lord 3 times in one night. He got rebuked by Jesus because he allowed Satan to speak through him and tell Jesus not to go to the cross. Okay, Peter made some mistakes. But he didn't quit. Okay, Peter didn't throw in the towel and say, you know what? I'm just a failure. Okay, I just can't make it. God can't use me. Okay, I might as well just quit right now. Never going to be used by the Lord. He didn't do that. Peter had to put those mistakes behind him. That night he denied the Lord 3 times. It says he what? He went off somewhere and he wept bitterly. Okay, he repented of it. He was sorry that he had done that. Because of his tenacity and his resiliency, God ended up using him mightily to lead thousands to Christ. Even on one day, he led that many to Christ. Peter is a great example for us of somebody that has made some mistakes, but he knew enough to put those things behind him and start now. Hey, the Lord's mercies, the Bible says, are new every morning. Okay, that means we wake up, it's a brand new day. Thank you, Jesus. I get to start over today because yesterday was rough. Okay, thank you, Jesus. I'm moving into today, starting with my current situation. Okay, yes, I've made mistakes and they're right here behind me. They haven't gone very far, but they are still behind me. And I'm going to start right here today and move forward. Peter repented. He changed his mindset. He changed his thoughts and his actions regarding that and similar matters, those things that he made mistakes in, and then he moved forward with what God was calling him to do. Like Jesus said to the woman that was caught in adultery, he said, just go and sin no more. Okay, in other words, just move forward. Go and live differently. That's what that means. Go and live differently. Letting go of the baggage of mistakes that you've made will allow you to be transformed into the image of Christ. It is that ability then to reach toward the prize of the high calling of God. Okay, number 3. Let go of lies. How many know that our adversary, the devil, is known as the father of lies? Okay, the source. So much of what torments people in their minds are things that are simply not true. Did you know that? I don't know how a guy could find out the percentage. I bet it's high. I bet it's 80% of the things that we roll around in our mind, that we get worked up over, that we get stressed out about, and it's not even true. It didn't even happen. Okay, it's not going to happen that way. You know, the main one that condemns you in your thoughts and gets these things going, he condemns you for things that you've done or not done, is the devil. Okay, we know that. He is the father of lies. Of course, he's going to put lies and plant seeds. But if you remember what God said to Adam and Eve after they had fallen into sin, think back to the beginning, that first story, they took the forbidden fruit. They hid themselves from God. And when God crawled out and says, Adam, where art thou? He said that he had hidden from God because he was naked. He felt ashamed. He felt unworthy. But God's response to Adam was, who told you that you were naked? Okay, in other words, God was saying, who told you that you were no good? Who told you that you were unworthy? Because it certainly wasn't me. God is not the accuser of the brethren. Okay, the Bible says Satan is known as the accuser of the brethren. He is the one that plants those seeds and gets things rolling. God is not the one condemning you. Okay, the Bible says that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He is our salvation. God gave us this great gift we call imagination. Okay, I love to imagine, right? Okay, I like to plan things out in my head and imagine what things could be like, or you know, if it's designing something, I like to build stuff and trailers and whatnot, and I like to plan it out in my head, and then eventually I'll use my imagination and get thinking, and then I'll write it down or I'll start drawing it out. God gave us a great gift in imagination. We can imagine wonderful things. We can set ourselves up for hope, to be looking forward towards something good that is coming. But the devil will often try to use imagination. The Bible talks about vain imagination, okay, empty imagination, things that are fruitless. He'll try to get us thinking on things that are not good for us. Things like unrealistic expectations that we put on ourselves or other people. Things like jealousy, okay, things like self-condemnation. They are all rooted in our imagination. Okay, and in believing lies. Jesus is the truth. Okay, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He has given us, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit of truth to reveal unto us what is right of God. Lies are of the devil. Okay, they've even been listed in the book of Proverbs as one of the things that it says God hates. Okay, it's in Proverbs 6:16 through 19. He said, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. Lying is actually listed twice in this list as a lying tongue and a false witness that speaks lies. Okay? No lie is from God. God is not a man that he should lie, the Bible says. He is not given into that. He is not prone to, well, let me just twist this a little bit to make it sound better. He doesn't do that. You know, there was a couple in the Bible you read about in the book of Acts named Ananias and Sapphira. They were struck dead on the spot for trying to lie to the Holy Ghost. First, the man comes in, and the woman comes in, or the other way around, the other way around. Lies are not something that we want in our life, no matter what. Okay, I figure if we're lying, we are creating baggage. And if we're believing a lie, then we are carrying baggage. Now, you have a part to play in letting go of the lies. Okay, the Lord is going to empower you. He's going to guide you. Yeah, he's going to prompt you to do it, to get those thoughts out of your head. But you're the one that thinks the thoughts you think. Okay, you're the one that repeats that rolls it around again and again and again. Okay, rather than rehashing those negative thoughts of hurts and negative things over and over and over again. Okay, or rather than dwelling on things that you don't even actually know if they're true or not. Bring every thought into captivity of Christ and think on thoughts that are pure, lovely, just, and true. Okay, Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Okay, can't get any more plain, right? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay, the truth is what really matters. So often we roll through our heads what we think happened or what we think somebody said, and it's simply not true. It didn't happen that way. Okay, you can convince yourself that something is true. Okay, media figured this out. I'll leave it at that. But you can convince yourself that something is true by telling yourself or repeating that particular scenario over and over and over again in your head. And within a few made-up replays in your mind, you go through it a few times, you're now convinced that it actually happened that way. But in truth, it did not happen that way. You don't know how it happened. That's just how you made it up in your mind. Okay, let go of the lies and stop settling for anything less than the truth. Okay, find the truth. If you don't know it, then you don't know it. You got to wait. Ask the Lord. Ask the Spirit of Truth to reveal you something. He will. But don't make it up in your own mind. Number 4, let go of control. Okay, simply put, if you're in control, then God is not. Okay, your goal is to walk in the Spirit. Okay, that means that you allow yourself to be completely led and even dominated by the Holy Spirit of God. I want it. I want it. I want to be dominated by the Spirit of God. I want Him to move in my life. I want Him to show up in a strong way. Okay, now He's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything against your will, but you really should be desirous of anything that He wants to do in your life. Is the Holy Spirit ever going to lead you into harm or do bad? No. Okay, He's not. He's going to lead you into good. He always has your best interest in mind. He is always interceding on your behalf for the good. Okay, and best part is He knows perfectly what the will of God is for your life. Okay, so who do we want to connect with to make sure we're in the will of God? It's holy. It's Holy Spirit. Have your way. Lead me, guide me, show me, reveal to me. Keep me in the truth. Okay, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. We're instructed in the Word to pray in the Spirit. Okay, we're expected to sing in the Spirit, to see others after the Spirit. Okay, and we're given the Holy Spirit to empower us to do exactly what we should or need to do in any given situation. He will be there leading and guiding and prompting to do it. It's almost like an autopilot, okay? But you still have a small part to play in that you have to allow the Holy Spirit to be in control. You have to hit the cruise button, sort of, right? And make sure if it doesn't set, you know, how many times you've been driving up a big hill and the cruise kicks off? Anybody ever had that happen? Okay, or you're going down a hill and the cruise, well, that's a different story. But let's say it kicks off. Okay, you have to reset the cruise when you get leveled out. Okay, you still have that little bit that you have to do. I saw a truck commercial the other day, and it was for the new GMC big 3500 trucks, you know, the big diesel trucks. And it was talking about this kind of an autopilot that they have, kind of like a, what do they call it, hands-free driving capability, okay, where you can basically set the cruise and then take your hand off the wheel and it will drive you know, keep you driving safely at 75 miles an hour down the highway. Okay, they even show it. I remember it kind of impressed me in the commercial because they even show it pulling a camper passing somebody on like a two-lane highway. Okay, now I don't know about you guys, but I get a little tense even when I pass somebody on a two-lane highway with my charger, okay? Because I don't know if I got enough room to get around them. I've met three wide on a highway. It's not that much fun, and I don't want to do it again. So I'll drive behind somebody for 50 miles rather than pass at times. I would have a hard time in a big truck pulling a trailer, letting a computer decide if I have enough time to get out and around this guy before that car comes over the hill or somebody pulls out of a driveway of a ranch or something. In a similar way, though, that's what faith and trust in the Holy Spirit is like. Because He may want to do some things in your life that maybe you're a little bit uncomfortable with. He might want to lead you in a direction that maybe you don't know anything about. But if you yield to Him, it will turn out okay. Now, I know we all cringe at the thought of letting something pass for us, but I'm pretty sure that GMC did some research and studies and figured some things out because they don't really want a bunch of head-on collisions on their record, right? The Holy Spirit doesn't want any wrecks on your record either. Okay, so Holy is going to lead you. I trust Holy more than GMC. I'll tell you. Okay. But I will trust the Holy Spirit if He leads and guides, prompts to go in a direction that maybe I don't know anything about, maybe I'm uncomfortable with, maybe I've never done, maybe it's bigger than anything I imagined. I will trust Him to get me there. I will click that autopilot and say, if you say you can get me there, I'll trust you. Okay, you just have to walk by faith and trust in the Holy Spirit. Let go of control and see what happens. Okay, life is a lot less frustrating when you let go of control. You give it up, turn it over to God, so you can do it. Last one this morning, number 5, let go of unforgiveness. Okay, Jesus made a pretty obvious point about this when He was asked the direct question. Peter asked Him, Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother? Okay, you know those guys I'm hanging out with. How often do I got to keep forgiving these guys? Because he had probably been his toes stepped on or something, and so he's asking the Lord. Here's what the Lord said, Matthew 18:21. Says, then came Peter to Him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? You know, Peter thought that was giving him a lot of grace, right? 7 times. I mean, that's a lot of times to let somebody wound you. But Jesus said unto him, verse 22, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. In other words, keep doing it. Okay, unforgiveness is a suitcase that no one in the body of Christ should be holding on to or dragging through life. If you want to know the seriousness of carrying an unforgiveness suitcase, Jesus said, if you forgive not others, neither will I forgive you. Your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. It was that serious of an issue. He made a point. Unforgiveness leads to detriment in your life. It leads to bitterness. Okay? It leads to health problems. It leads to stress. It leads to avoidance. It leads to rejection. Okay? Even more detrimental, though, than harboring unforgiveness in a physical way, even more detrimental is that harboring unforgiveness is a direct defiance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Didn't Jesus come so we could be forgiven of our sin? Because if we have sin in our life, you ain't going to be with God. We have to have forgiveness. Okay, we've all been hurt. Okay, most often the closest ones to us are often the ones that hurt us the most. Or maybe it just hurts more. Probably because we care about these people and it hurts. So we have to be willing to forgive. Okay, you have to speak it. Tell yourself, I forgive so-and-so. Yes, they've hurt me, but I forgive. Let them go. Drop it. Move forward. Jesus implied that being angry with your brother or holding aught against them will hinder your ability to worship God. He says that if you go first, and you need to go and reconcile with them, and then come back to the altar of worship. Matthew 5, 21 through 24. He said, "You have heard it said by them of old time that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." And he gives the advice. Actually, it's a command, if you want to look at it that way. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Okay, you have to forgive others. Okay, and just as importantly, you have to forgive yourself. Okay, that's part of the forgiveness for mistakes we've made, for things we did we didn't want to do or didn't need to do or whatever they were. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, and oftentimes we end up being our own toughest critic. And sometimes we don't let ourselves off the hook. We can forgive somebody else, but man, do we have trouble forgiving ourselves. You know, examining yourself to see whether you be in the faith, or looking at your life, searching your heart to see if there's some kind of an error in attitude or something that needs to be removed, that can be very healthy for us. Okay, once you make some adjustments, you can move forward. But condemning yourself over and over and over again, heaping guilt upon yourself, okay, beating yourself down with false humility, is not healthy for you, physically or spiritually. Okay, we all get confronted by the error of our way at times. But when you recognize it, you see that you've made a mistake, you repent of that, you turn in a better direction because you see there was something in your life that you didn't want. Okay, you don't want to have that in your life anymore. Then you come out on the other side a better person, shining brighter for Jesus Christ. Okay, living a life that glorifies your Father which is in heaven. Okay, so to sum all this up, to conclude, spend some time this week seeing what baggage you need to let go of. Okay, lighten your load. Set something down. Get rid of it. Put it behind you so that you can move forward. Let go of the past, good or bad. Learn from and let go of the mistakes. Learn from it. Never going to do that again. That's a good statement. Learn from it and move forward. Let go of the lies and only settle for the truth. Let go of control and let the Holy Spirit lead. And free yourself by letting go of unforgiveness. Hey, this is how we live the life that God has called us to. It's how we live the life that He imagined for us. He has a good plan for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you good. Right? A hope and a future. He has good things in store for you. Father, we praise You this morning. Father, I pray that each one of us in here can think of something. Some area, Lord, that maybe we've been hanging on to, cleaving to, or we're letting it affect us in a negative way right now because we haven't let it go. Father, I pray that You'll reveal that, speak clearly on how to proceed and how to let it go. And Father, may we then push it to the side, push it even behind us entirely so that we can move forward into what You call us to. Father, we praise You. Thank You for speaking to hearts and minds. Thanks for encouraging us, Lord. We see that many in the Scriptures have been through stuff. They made their mistakes, but they knew enough to move forward. I pray that we grab onto that. I pray that we see it as, you know what, that killing Christian stuff, or that cutting off that guy's ear, or those things that I said, Lord, I'm going to leave that behind me so I can keep pursuing what You have for me. Thank You, Father, for strengthening us. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us to do this. Thank You for empowering us, making it real, making it happen. Lord, we pray You and thank You for these things. In Jesus' name, we say, amen. Amen and amen. Amen.